Balanced Breakfast and proud members of the Geek.io Podcast Network. This is The Generic Live Show. Thanks for joining us here on The Generic Live Show for a Sunday. Indeed, it is Dale Campbell here with you. It's a pleasure as per always. We're doing it for Geek.io as mentioned there. Thanks for joining us here on a Sunday. Happy Sunday, everyone. Thanks for joining us here on a Sunday. Dale Campbell, I think I've said all of that. 9:01 in Aussie land, 7:01 in American land. Time zones to be confirmed, and we are around the 40-day mark before I am in the United States of America. 43 days, excuse me, 11 hours, 57, 52, before I depart this fine land for holiday in America. It is very, very, very exciting. I'm really looking forward to going to America again. It is the second time around that I'm going stateside, and I'll be at Dragon Con this time around. More to be announced as it becomes available to us. Speaking of things becoming available to us, we have to talk about this. This has to be the top of the show, first segment, talk of the town, Donald Trump Jr. You turned into the Generic Live Show to hear all the saucy information about Donald Trump Jr. Well, you're not getting it. No, you are. You are getting something, a symbol of it. Housekeeping matters first. I do apologize if you hear random noises throughout the show. There's been some railway works in my local area, so you might hear some weird kind of tooting noises or some weird yelling. Toot noises and yelling. Can we name the show that? Can the name of the show be now called, no, referred to as Loud Noises and Random Screaming? That is pretty much the show anyway, so there you go. And I still haven't fixed my squeaky chair. Anyway, off topic. So here's exactly what happened between Donald Trump Jr. and the Russian lawyer. The meeting took place 2 weeks after Donald Trump clinched the Republican nomination for president. So back then, Donald Trump's older son, say that 10 times fast, is the latest member of the Trump campaign to be in hot water for potential ties with Russia. So who did Donald Trump Jr. meet and why? Mr. Trump's eldest son met with Kremlin-connected lawyer Natasha Valskinskaya, I said that wrong, after being told that she found information that might be, quote, helpful to the campaign, unquote. The meeting took place at Trump Tower on June the 9th, 2016, 2 weeks after Mr. Trump clinched the Republican nomination for president. Three advisors to the White House briefed on the meeting, and two others with knowledge of it told the New York Times that Mr. Trump Jr. was promised damaging information about Hillary Clinton before agreeing to meet with Miss Vez. Miss Vez is what she shall be known as from here on in, because I can't say that last name. Mr. Trump Jr. said that he was asked to meet with her by, quote, an acquaintance I knew from the 2013 Miss Universe pageant, unquote. He said he was not told with Miss Vez's name prior to the meeting. It was also revealed that Rob a publicist and former British tabloid reporter who helped broker the June 2016 meeting, told the elder Trump son in an email that there's legitimately two that's in the sentence. Huh. Man. Generic Live Show, uncovering grammatical mistakes since 2005. 2015. Look at that. 2016 told the end of Trump's son in an email that the, okay, that the material was part of the Russian government effort to aid his father candidacy. I mean, I do appreciate people making these stories free and available. Hashtag net neutrality. Yeah, I got it out there. Got that out there. Mr. Gladstone's message, described to the New York Times by the three people, indicates the Russian government was a source of potentially damaging information. It was not elaborate on the wider effort by Moscow to help the Trump campaign. Now, there is apparently I know there is, in fact, a video here. It is 6 seconds long, apparently. So here we go. On, if at all, it'll interrupt me when it loads. Oh, what is?
The story keeps changing again and again. Back now to that meeting between Donald Trump's inner circle and a Russian attorney last summer. CNN has now learned that there were others in the room besides those previous.
Whoop. Okay, so I'm gonna let that do its thing. So we've got Donald Trump Jr., Jared Kushner, Paul Manafort, Natasha Vez, which I've now known, Rob Gladstone, Riet Alhamistan, translator and representative of the Adglove family, is what it seems. My audio
is Jr. helped coordinate the meeting by email, and some say that paper trail could be a game changer. Those emails, of course, have been in the headlines all week. They're the strongest indication yet that the Trump team was willing to accept help from the Kremlin. We want to remind you now about just how things unfolded. The New York Times first reported the story, and Trump Jr.'s response to it evolved with each passing day. By Tuesday, he released the email chain himself, setting off shockwaves. It showed that he'd agreed to meet with someone described as a Russian government attorney who was part of an official effort to help his father's campaign. The fallout was swift and fierce. Hillary Clinton's former running mate didn't mince words.
This video is a 7-minute video, so we're gonna intersperse that in amongst all of that. So why could this be a scandal? So this is interesting. There are multiple federal investigations into whether Trump campaign advisors colluded with the Russian government to influence the 2016 presidential elections. The accounts of Mr. Trump Jr.'s meeting are the first public indication that at least some in the campaign were being willing to accept Russia's help. The president and the people in his orbit have frequently denied any connections to Russia, assertions that keep getting debunked. Mr. Trump Jr. said that he'll be quote-unquote happy to work with the Senate Intelligence Committee, which is conducting its own Russian investigation, to share what he knows. Democratic Senator Mark Warner, the vice chairman of the committee, told reporters that this is quote-unquote remarkable, that Mr. Trump Jr. did not report the meeting, and that the committee quote-unquote absolutely wants to meet with him. Of course they want to meet with him. That is entirely understandable. So who else attended this meeting? Jared Kushner. We've already gone through this, but we'll go through it again for a point of clarification. Jared Kushner, the president's son-in-law and advisor, and then campaign manager Paul Manafort, who also attended the meeting. Mr. Manafort and Mr. Kushner recently disclosed the meeting, though not its content, in a confidential government document described by the New York Times. So we're going to hear now from Hillary Clinton's former running mate. What was his name? His name was Tim White. Although that's not entirely inaccurate. Jim Kane. There you go.
We're now beyond obstruction of justice in terms of what's being investigated. This is moving into perjury, false statements, and even into potentially treason.
Trump Jr. went on a friendly cable network to deny wrongdoing, and he told Fox News he just wanted to, quote, hear them out, play out, and see what happens. He says that he learned nothing, but didn't directly answer this key question.
So this is Donald Trump Jr. on the Hannity program, the Fox News Sean Hannity program, television program.
Did you tell your father anything about this?
It was such a nothing. There was nothing to tell. I mean, I wouldn't have even remembered it until you start scouring through the stuff. It was literally just a wasted 20 minutes, which was a shame.
A shame the meeting wasn't as promised, and that same day we saw signs that the Republican defense of Mr. Trump was beginning to crack. The head of a powerful House committee slammed the Trump camp for their, quote, amnesia, and demanded action.
Someone close to the president needs to get everyone connected with that campaign in a room and say, from the time you saw Dr. Zhivago until the moment you drank vodka with a guy named Boris, you list every single one of those, and we're going to turn them over to the special counsel.
That was from the Megyn Kelly show. By the way, this audio video combo comes courtesy of CNN. More on what we know about this situation before we get back to interspersing some of the audio. We've got who else attended? We got that. So how have the president and the White House responded? So during a White House press briefing, Deputy Press Secretary Sarah Huckabee Sanders said she believes the president learned about the meeting in the last couple of days. With that being a parenthesis, Mr. Trump Jr. said in his statement that his father knew nothing of the meeting or those events. Two different stories! Sounds familiar. Mark Corello, I'm kidding. Actually, not really, but bias. By the way, you'll be happy to know, Generic Live Show wants to tell you that we know Trump Tracker this week, so this is why we're having the story now. Mark Corello, a spokesperson for the president's personal lawyer, Mark Kazovics, said in a statement, quote, "We learnt of both our own investigation and public reports that participants in the meeting misrepresented who they were and who they worked for," unquote. Mr. Corello went on to say, quote, "Specifically, we learnt that the person who sought the meeting is associated with Fusion GPS, a firm which, according to public reports, was retained by Democrat operatives to develop opposition research on the president and which commissioned the phony Steele Dozer." Fusion GPS is based in Washington, D.C. and established by a former Wall Street Journal reporters Glenn Simpson and Peter Frutish. Found itself in the spotlight earlier this year after it was revealed that it was behind the opposition research Dozer containing unproven and salacious allegations about the president. Wow, I said that word. I'm really proud of myself. You know, small things muse small minds. Me saying words correctly, that is a lot of to say. Excuse me. See, I'm getting choked up. There you go. I said the word correctly, but still I'm getting choked up. Fusion GPS told CBS that, quote, "any claim that Fusion GPS arranged or facilitated this meeting in any way is absolutely false." And we return back now to CNN.
On Wednesday, we heard that the White House was paralyzed by all the chaos. That night, Mr. Trump left for Paris, where he defended his son during a news conference the next day.
"I have a son who's a great young man. He's a fine person. He took a meeting with a lawyer from Russia. It lasted for a very short period, and nothing came of the meeting. And I think it's a meeting that most people in politics probably would have taken."
That was President Trump whilst in Paris at a press conference with the French Prime Minister, President? Prime resident. So here is the press
that did not go over
briefing.
Well with some lawmakers who insisted Trump Jr. and the others should have reported the Russian effort to the FBI. A top Democrat also cast blame on Mr. Trump's fellow Republicans.
Republicans in Congress have become enablers of the Trump-Russia assault on our democracy.
That was Nancy Pelosi. She is a Democratic senator and also head of the Senate Intelligence Committee. Excuse me, I'm losing my place here.
On Thursday, we learned Trump Jr. will be called to testify before Senate investigators, perhaps as early as next week. They also want information from Jared Kushner, the only current White House staffer who was in that meeting. One senator told CNN what they want to know.
What about future meetings and future relationships and future connections? And we don't know that yet. Is this an isolated incident or is it the tip of an information iceberg?
That was Angus King, U.S. Senate Independent.
One prominent conservative summed up the week by saying that the Russian scandal has entered a new phase and there's no going back. But President Trump still has plenty of supporters who say it's all a partisan witch hunt. Well, to get more on this, let's bring in Larry Sabato, who is live for us in Virginia. He is the...
So they're going into an interview, and I don't want that at all. Actually, I do want it, but that's not the point. The point is that I want the facts, man. I do want the facts. So the Daily News reporting offering a steady deep into new information. The lack of full disclosure has left some at the White House frustrated, according to CNN. Meeting last summer. Is there anything else in this here? So timeline of Trump Jr.'s meeting revelations. So new revelations about Donald Trump Jr.'s meeting last summer with a Russian lawyer. The service. So the story breaks. So here we go. Right down to the nitty gritty here. Sorry, W. 0521. I'm sorry, I don't understand what you're saying in the chat, unfortunately. I would love to, but there you go. Hello, W021. I was getting there. This is a solo show. It's a solo show. It's just me, Dale Campbell, here with you, Generic Live Show. So, there you go. GLS. Side jag on that. We've got a couple of things in the works on that one. So there you go. I didn't mention that in the pre-show. There you go. July 8th, 2017, New York Times breaks the news about Donald Trump Jr. On July 8th, Donald Trump Jr. doesn't disclose meetings for purpose. In his statement, quote, "It was a short introductory meeting. I asked Jared and Paul to stop by. We primarily discussed a program about the adoption of Russian children that was active, popular with American families years ago, and was since ended by the Russian government, and it was not a campaign issue at the time, so there was no follow-up," unquote. Also, on July 9th now, the New York Times reports that Trump Jr. was told to contact and had information damaging to Clinton on January 9th, so just a week or so ago, I believe. Mr. Trump issues a new statement. Ooh, so changing the story. On July 10th, New York Times reports Donald Trump Jr. knew of Russian effort. Ooh. On July 10th, Donald Trump Jr.'s attorney responds to the New York Times. Hoo-hoo. It's getting spicy. So, I don't know. Trying to make it spicy. July 11th, the Russian lawyer speaks to the to NBC. July 11th, Donald Trump Jr. releases full email exchange. On July 11th, New York Times publishes the full story. And we heard the clip of Donald Trump Jr. being interviewed by Sean Hannity, and it was also claims to have provided full disclosure. On July 14th, 2017, so 2 days ago, a Russian-American lobbyist reveals he was also at that meeting. On July 14th, CNN reporter says there were at least 8 participants in the meeting. That's it. So, there you go. There you go. That's all you know. Oh, that's cool. W0521. Awesome. I'm Australian, so there you go. So, alrighty. As we continue here on the Channel Club Show for a Sunday, it is Dale Campbell here with you. We're going to take a quick break here, and on the other side, we're going to tell you a McDonald's has started banning particular people from their restaurant here in this fine state of Queensland. We're going to tell you more about it as we continue here on the Genetic Live Show for a Sunday. It's Dale Campbell here with you. It's 9:22. Finally found the most generic live show. This is the Generic Live Show. Thanks for joining us here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday. It's Dale Campbell here with you. It's good to be here as always. We're doing it for Geek.io. Thanks for joining us. It's great to be here. Whether we're waking you up or putting you to sleep, it's Dale Campbell here with you. Generic Live Show. It's a pleasure as always. So, a McDonald's on the Gold Coast has decided to make a brave move to ban school kids from their restaurant. Whoa, what is... How about we don't play that? So there you go. commercial break interrupting Generic Live Show. Check. As per always.
The Gold Coast has banned students in school uniforms during school hours. The store says it's acting on the request of local schools. Ben, this is pretty brave of McDonald's. They could easily take the money, the kids' money, and run, couldn't they?
Yeah, I don't know if this is going to send McDonald's broke one little bit, but I remember when I was at school last millennia that we weren't allowed to go to the local McDonald's even outside of school hours. And someone explained to me this. I see now, driving around during school hours, a lot of kids from state schools, private schools, not in school. They walk around in packs. I don't know what they're doing outside the school grounds. Again, call me old-fashioned, but when I was at school, if we walked outside of school grounds during school hours, you'd get detention, you'd get called back into school.
Yeah.
How are kids allowed to be outside of school grounds and blatantly walk around? I mean, they're not wagging.
They are wagging, these kids, apparently, and that's why McDonald's has stepped in to help the teachers.
Yeah, I'm talking on a broader scale, though, Sam. Can someone explain that to me? How school kids, in all seriousness, high schools, they're just walking around in groups. They're not wagging. Mm-hmm. But anyway, that's a side issue. But I don't think this is going to send McDonald's broke. I reckon it's a good call.
What do you think?
Well, okay, sorry. I have a slight issue with that clip. I hate to tell you, skipping school Between the hours of 7 is still skipping school. I don't know how more blatantly obvious. I really don't know how you can classify it as something that is, you know, something that is anything else for anything else. What else could you call that? Skipping school is going to McDonald's during school hours, not missing school. Like, what is... that has just baffled me to no end. I don't think I can continue now. What would you call that then? Sunshine? What would you, just calling someone sunshine? I don't know what you would call that. What would you call going to McDonald's? Yes, going to McDonald's is going to McDonald's. But going to McDonald's during school hours and not going to school is going to McDonald's and skipping school. It's a little much. Yeah, I'm just saying.
Kathy, is it good of Macca's to help out the schools?
I don't really think it's McDonald's place to do something like this, do you? I mean, if the kids don't go to McDonald's, they're just going to go somewhere else.
Well, that's the point that should be mentioned here. You know, that is something that should be mentioned, is that it's not McDonald's place to put a ban on students. I mean, McDonald's is a private business, and you know, I am not of conservative nature, but I'd like to point out that it's the school's business. You know, every McDonald's is a private business. Yes, they're a big corporate chain. They're a chain, and there's lots of them. There's lots everywhere, and there is that. But something that McDonald's has control over is the fact that they can do rules like this and have it be that one McDonald's and not have to be this massive chain of command thing. This chain of command kind of pool of thought, if that makes sense. But, you know, it's kind of, I don't know how to put it. It's kind of strange, but I agree. It's not McDonald's job to do this, but it certainly it could be their place if they so desired to. Okay, I don't know. I'm going off. I don't know. I'm throwing my hands up in the air because I do care about this. I'm throwing my hands in the air because I do care about this, but I'll watch the rest of this clip that I can't stand.
Why has it become McDonald's issue to stop kids from going into their restaurant?
Well, because all the kids in this area are apparently wagging school and going to the McDonald's.
But they're just going to go somewhere else, aren't they? I mean...
Oh, sorry. Interrupting the clip again. Failed to interrupt the clip. That is true. They are going to go somewhere else to skip school rather than just have... You know, rather than just going and hanging at the McDonald's. But the McDonald's is probably sick of it, you know? The McDonald's is probably like, man, we don't want school kids hanging around our business. You know, they're probably a deterrent, and they're probably just being a nuisance. To be honest, I mean, I was a school kid once, and you know that's kind of how that works. You know, we're brats, we're nuisances. So that's kind of how that works. So there you go. Yeah, whatever. As we continue, I wasn't even going to get that fired up about it. I was going to be like, hey, here's the McDonald's. How do you feel? And then I heard the clip, and I should really listen to things before the show. As we continue, here on the Genetic Live Show for a Sunday, it's Dale Campbell here with you. It's a pleasure as always. Queensland, we're staying in Queensland, and Queensland have new ID scanning policy, and there's an outrage for it. As we continue here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday, it's Dale Campbell here with you. Thanks for joining us. It's a pleasure to be here, as per always. I'm busy typing, and I shouldn't be. I should be going to a commercial break. I know, it's 9:32.
Hold on tight. This is the Generic Live Show.
Thanks for joining us here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday. It's Dale Campbell here with you. Thanks for joining us here on a Sunday. We're doing it for Geek.io. Thanks for joining us. It's Dale Campbell here with you. I'm being distracted. I know. I'm sorry, but okay. You know what? I'm saying this because I want to get something off my chest. Because we have this trouble here on the Generic Live Show sometimes where I get news articles off my aggregator and they're free, you know? Why not? And news should be free for everyone. That's what I believe. That's partially how this came to be. But when you go in later to the story, it kind of changes. They decide to put it after a paywall after a while, and I don't like that. It's kind of hard to plan a show and then halfway through a commercial break go, I'm not ready to come back. I haven't got my next segment planned. It's a little hard to plan your show around news articles being put on a paywall without warning. And I'm constantly reminded of this every now and again that if you go to your news articles on Google, they're fine, but you go direct, they're behind a paywall. That just annoys me for some reason, but I thought I'd put that out there. And it says subscriber only, and I'm not using any hacks. Hands are here. I went into Google, I typed this subject matter in. You can type the headline into the thing. ID scanning laws, Queensland. Whose new rules are keeping out? It's free. It's free. News should be free and available for everyone, and that is something I can dive into that. Maybe I will. Mark my words, I will go into a rant about how news should be free and available for everyone. But now back to scanning your ID at bars and nightclubs. So this is basically what the kind of rules are. So the Sunday Mail, which is an arm of the Courier Mail. I'm working are working on a kind of a way to get a free version of this out here. But I do definitely have a free version to send out there. So basically, what has happened is there is a new there is a new system where it is compulsory to have your ID scanned at scanned at every nightclub and bar in Queensland if you're open until 3 a.m. If you're open until 3 a.m. I think I was told that if you're only you're open till midnight, it should be all good from what I'm told. I do apologize for the blank spaces. I need to get better at managing the chat at the same time as this the main show. So Sunday Mail can reveal the rap sheets of those excluding from entries at the state's nightclubs as the Palaszczuk government fights to show the value of its new scanning system aimed at weeding out troublemakers at in the party precincts in Queensland. And this is taken up here in Queensland at the same time as well. So it's statewide. It's a statewide implementation process as well.
Yes!
How about we don't do that? And that's going to keep doing that every single time, isn't it? More than 500,000 people have been scanned in the first 2 weeks since introduction. At least 21 have been excluded or banning orders. So here is an interview with a general manager of a bar. First-hand experience.
Technology is not scanning international driver's licenses to any rate that would be considered acceptable. I also call on the government to put a pause on what they're doing until these issues are sorted out. We've been led to believe last week they've got a full-time program of working on these international driver's licenses to save these templates. But one would have thought after paying for...
Oh, sorry, by the way, sidejagged, they only scan Australian driver's license, not foreign ones, which you can also use to get into a bar where the drinking age here is 18, and whereas overseas it could be 21, but the driving age is different to the drinking age, like it is here, so you can learn to drive at 6, look up the laws in your state. I think they're different around the place anyway, there's particular requirements that you need. Dodge that bullet. Anyway, so there you go. But they don't do international licenses.
This ID scanning technology, that this would have already been done before the 1st of July, not post the 1st of July. It's costing business money. We're having to put extra staff on. We're watching bar sales evaporate out the door, and the government is sitting back saying that this is okay and that everything is fine. Well, it's not fine. And they need to look at what they've done here, realise they've made a mistake, pause it, and stop costing business money. Here in Cairns, we can't afford, it's a low economic time, we can't afford to have money walking out the door, especially when it's walking out the door to the casino down the road where they don't have to scan IDs. So it's really disappointing to see that this has happened, but good governance should show that they actually can accept when they've made mistakes, pause it, get it right, consult the industry like they should have in the first place, and then roll it out when it's done. And additional to that, back it up with a marketing campaign to let everybody know that they need IDs and to get scanned. It's not good enough. First weekend.
Well, okay, so that is a very passionate general manager of a bar kind of laying down the law pretty much to everyone. And how he doesn't think that the rollout has been good enough. Here, I'm gonna play that. That is the bar perspective. I like looking at these kind of stories from an array of
never
perspectives as well. And so that was from the police perspective. I want to now introduce the police perspective, who are now saying that it is a success, not a failure.
IDs scanned in every pub and club with late closing times and safe night precincts across the state.
It serves Paradise and Broadbeach and here in Fortitude Valley. We found that the crowd behaviour was far improved.
Across Queensland, in 180 venues, almost 90,000 IDs were scanned last night. Seven people who were previously banned from entering the Safe Night precinct were identified, removed from venues and reported to police. Police say there were no sexual assaults and only three acts of violence.
Three assaults out of all the precincts in the state, which is a significant reduction to what we normally see.
There were, though, some reports of clubs with long lines as patrons were forced to wait to get in.
Yes, there was a little bit of frustration amongst some patrons and also staff around the new systems. Let's not forget, these systems have just come online on one of the busiest nights, a Saturday night.
Across Queensland, 35 people were banned for either misbehaving in venues or across the precinct. Within 1 hour, every nightclub had their details.
We've now got a measure where people can't just go back into venues when they've been banned.
Within 1 hour, every venue knows that someone had been given a banning order by a police at that time.
Only two venues in the party precincts haven't signed up to the scanners. They were forced to close early or risk being fined.
So that is the police perspective. So to kind of run that down a little bit, three assaults, none sexual, which is still it's still bad, but like I've said in the past, you can't get to zero, so three is not the next best thing. You should aim for zero, but you can't get there is the name of the game there. But having no sexual assaults outside of nightclub precincts is good. Having it rolled out on a Saturday night, though, that's not okay. That is definitely not something that should be fine. But so here's the rap sheet. So where people have been banned and why. So eight people have been banned in Surfers Paradise, seven in Fortitude Valley, three in Brisbane, one in Rockhampton, one in Maroochydore, one in Townsville. That is this week. Drug possession, possession of instruments used to administer or smoke a dangerous drug, breach of bail or failure to appear in court, resisting arrest, shoplifting, stealing from a building, including an ATM, public nuisance violence, or outstanding warrants for arrests. It's, yeah. But Attorney General Yo Zha, who toured Brisbane's nightclub precincts to see how the scanning in action, said the rap sheets of those excluded were proof that the new scheme was worthwhile. Excuse me, I got the hiccups. These were people who might have been standing next to you or your kids in a club before ID scans were introduced. Okay, first of all, kids aren't in nightclubs. Kids aren't in nightclubs, and if they are, well, that's the bigger issue here. So you know that is definitely the bigger issue here. But also, why? It is a good concept, but kind of having it rolled out on a Saturday night is definitely what should have not happened, but there you go. The ID scanning was introduced in Airlie Beach's Safe Night precinct, and this is kind of the flip side of it. It's kind of ID scanners coming under fire is the name of this article. Basically, the system allows a person's ID to be cross-checked against a database of individuals who were subject to a banning order. Banning orders are transmitted to the Office of Liquor Gambling... The Office of Liquor Gambling Restriction and the Queensland Police Service, with both two acronyms that I just really feel like saying the thing. The scanning system initially provides venues with a person's name, date of birth, nationality, whether the identification is expired is also another big thing, and whether the person is male, female, or quote-unquote unknown. Hey, I didn't put in the quotes there. Meaning the system cannot read the card correctly. Strange. As a part of the Airlie Beach Night Safe Precinct IC scanner, must be in operation from 10 p.m. So a bar manager opened from 10 a.m. to 3 a.m. in Airlie Beach said he was concerned about the system's effectiveness and he had patrons in his venue from 5 p.m. who weren't scanned. So it's only from 10 p.m. till 3 a.m. that the scanning came into effect. Gotcha. Overall, Mr. Bastley thought the idea scanners were a good idea. Quote, but the way the system had been rolled out is appalling. Okay. Quote, and you already have a limited amount of time to make money, she said. She said. What? When did she turn into what? Stacey Harvey, this is someone else. I was about to say, when did he turn into a she? Did I miss a memo? Okay. Don't bother going out in Airlie. Simple, says a commenter on this news article. Well, guess what, buddy? It is compulsory, so you don't really have much of a choice on that one. LNP's Fair Trading Minister Jared Bully said, throughout Queensland, businesses and hospitality workers are losing money and jobs were being lost because of poor rollout and the scanners. I mean, that's true, but I think it's a good, again, I agree with the bar places deal combos here, because whilst, yeah, it is a good idea, having it, A, rolled out on a Saturday night, 2, not letting the people at the bar know how to do it, and it's also, there's one scanner. That's also the other thing. There is one of these big, massive computer things. They're not small. They're more powerful than what I run this show on. Like, I run this show off a crabby laptop that should have been replaced 2 years ago, but hasn't been. And these things are massive powerhouses that have to trawl through a database, and no wonder why they take time. And it's not like you can put more in, and if you put more in, the rent on these things are going to be ginormous. Excuse me, I scratched my leg. But it'll be interesting to see how these go. I mean, I haven't been out since the compulsory scanning has come through, so I can't report first-hand experience on these things, so I'm going to have to go out into town. Hey, it's research! I've cracked the code! It's research! I can do research, and I get to have fun at the same time. Look at that. Who says the generic live show doesn't help people? There you go. As we continue here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday, it's Dale Campbell here with you. Well, Spider-Man is a movie that is popular right now, and what do we like to do when movies are popular? We like to make fun of their reviews. What? That's right. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks for joining us here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday. It's Dale Campbell here with you. We're doing it for Geek.io. Review of a Review is up next. Thanks for joining us. It's 9:51. Found the most generic live show. This is the Generic Live Show. Thanks for joining us here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday. It's the way. What? Okay. Thanks for joining us here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday. Wow. Okay. It's Dale Campbell here with you. It's a pleasure as always. Thanks for joining us here on a Sunday. Well, something we like to do here on a Sunday is, well, okay, before you get excited, ladies and gentlemen, we have an important announcement for you. We need sad. You know what? I'm gonna put up some sad music, because we need some really, really sad music. Yeah, this called 1 hour pure sadness, emotional sad music, emotional ride. Ladies and gentlemen, the Trump Tracker, provided by the Washington Post and the Generic Live Show, is going on a temporary hiatus. Oh, you know, you've tuned in to segment 4 of the show, and now that the sad music's kicking up, I have to turn it down. You've tuned in every single week at this time to hear what Trump's been up to every single week. But ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the Trump Tracker to be put on temporary hiatus. It's sad, I know. I'm sad to see the segment go. It's probably one of my favorite things to do. But all good things must come to a temporary halt. Said no one ever. Said Dale Campbell, 2017. For the last time, for probably a long time, here's this. The traditional Trump Tracker opener is gone. And I know some of you are literally like this. Alright! Lifting myself back up! I was legitimately making myself nearly tear up a little bit there. I don't know what that was. I'm overcome with emotion today. Hey! But we've got something very exciting just for you. We've got the name for you. We've got a game aim for you. Gay aim. Gay aim. We've got some gay aim for you. We're doing review of a review of Spider-Man Homecoming. Now, I've tried to hide as many spoilery ones as I can, but here you go. Here is Spider-Man Homecoming right in your face. Here we go. Here is the name of this is Awfully Bankwaz Movie is the title of it. Okay, that's all right. Sure. I can't believe this movie managed to get 8 on 10. Eight on ten. This per me is worst Marvel movie and worst Spider-Man movie. Previous concept and actors were way better. Right. This Spider-Man spoiled the Spider-Man legacy. Two separate words. The movie was unable to keep me engrossed and chemistry between characters was missing. Were missing, sorry. any sort of cohesion in your sentence missing much was. Okay. Alright. Now get the process right music going on. What's up with that music? Alright. I just realized it was off. Alright. So this was the name of the next one. Okay, when Holly Weird gets through with politics of race/gender, maybe we can get real superhero movie. Wow, that's the title, folks. Strap in, we're in for some fun. Don't bother. Mary Jane is one of mixed race. In parentheses, was she that way in original comics? No! And that is supposed to be a good thing, because I suppose a non-white girl can't identify with white girl, eh? And that is all racist, is it? Yes, yes it is. And we have Blunder Woman, a woman that, quote unquote, doesn't need a man, and has determined as her less polite conversation with Captain Kirk. You know who I mean. Why did he say the dude's name? Anyway, while he is naked in some parts of Supernatural sauna. What? This just doesn't make sense. Alright. She mentions that she has no need for men for pleasure, an obvious gift to lesbians that we all know frequent superhero movies. Or do they? What? What? Do I need... I think I'm done with that. I'm definitely done with that. Because, yeah, you know, question. Do lesbians show up in superhero movies? Do lesbians show up in any movies at all? I'm not saying that that's a positive or a negative. I'm just simply asking the questions. Do lesbians show up in movies? Quick, name a lesbian movie. Can't? All right, awesome. We have to go take a break anyway. So thanks for joining us. Thanks for joining us here on the Genetic Live Show for a Sunday. It's Dale Campbell here with you. As we continue here on the Genetic Live Show, we've got a very cool story actually for the top of the hour. We're not doing the Trump thing. We're doing something different. We're going off the board. Yeah, that's right, ladies and gentlemen. We're going off the board. We're also going off the rails. It's apparently what's happening. Which is what's happening with that commercial. So there you go. As we continue here on the Joke Live Show, we are going to discover a deep, dark secret about Sydney, New South Wales, that you didn't know about. Thanks for joining us here on the Joke Live Show 10:01.